is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Nuclear energy in the 21st century, is it sustainable? Is it something that must be dealt with as a threat? In Zaporizhia right now, in Ukraine, the threat is emphasized by the fog of war and the occupation of the largest nuclear energy plant in all of Europe, 6 different reactors. And the question now is this a war crime conducted by Russia? Is the shelling around Zaporizhia a threat to all of Europe? It cannot be answered. So I moved to another part of nuclear energy, and this in Germany. The debate for several weeks now, led by the government, but the polling participates, is do we extend the life of the 3 nuclear power stations left online? You will recall that Angela Merkel committed Germany to decommissioning following the Fukushima tragedy of a decade ago. I go to Judy Dempsey of Carnegie Europe. She is the editor of Strategic Europe, to look at the question now. This is a moving story in Germany. Judy, a very good day to you in Berlin. As I understand it, Chancellor Scholz is entertaining in public considering extending the life of nuclear energy plants. There are 3 left online, contributing 6% of the electricity, I read from the Wall Street Journal, of all of Germany. This would not be profound except because we're in a circumstance where Nord Stream 1 has been reduced, throttled is the English word, from 40% to 20%, with the assumption that Russia is a bad actor and is using energy as leverage on Germany to, in some fashion, upset the unanimity about resisting in Ukraine. It's an elaborate story. I'll go right to the German public opinion now. The most recent polling I have says 68% are in favor of extending the 3 nuclear power plants for some time. Is that accurate, or is that number changing again? Good day to you, Judy.
Good day, John. Thank you for having me on your show. It's accurate, and it's very interesting because the Greens, who are so anti-nuclear and are the big prominent junior partner in this coalition led by the Social Democrats, they're moving towards this as well. And we're getting into a big issue here, how to reduce as quickly as possible, indeed cut the dependence Germany has had on Russian energy. And they have to fall back on nuclear energy. But this is a very complex story. But the consensus is that nobody wants a cold winter and there isn't enough energy, although I think this is slightly overplayed because the storage facilities are filling up. But nuclear energy is back on the agenda.
And the agenda must involve other sources of energy, but I want to focus for now on the politics of this. Olaf Scholz has been, I don't have the German language, so I'm not certain what ambiguity looks like, but there's another minister in government, Robert Habeck. He is the Green Party's economy and climate minister. What is Mr. Habeck's opinion? Because that would represent resistance if it exists.
Robert Habeck, frankly, is an unbelievably competent vice chancellor and the minister for responsible for the economy and climate change. He has ploughed his way through looking for alternative sources of energy. He has no qualms about Germany absolutely radically as quickly as possible reducing its dependence on Russia. He realizes all the mistakes Germany's made over the past 2 or 3 decades relying on Russia. And in fact, intellectually, as a Green Party member, he doesn't like the idea of nuclear energy. But as a politician, realpolitik, he realizes if the plants can be kept open for the next 3 years, fine. One caveat, as we've seen in France, nuclear plants demand an awful lot of safety considerations. And to get them up and running again, it takes time. It's not quick. You need the whole infrastructure, the uranium, so many elements to this. But it's back on the agenda. And the fact that a Green minister is coming over to this issue is incredibly radical. By the way, the Greens actually supported reopening some coal mines. So, frankly, if they can do one thing, they can do the other thing as well.
I note, according to the Wall Street Journal, the United Kingdom, Poland, the Netherlands and Austria, just the Netherlands, are building or intend to build nuclear power plants as an answer to the shortfall of energy going forward, even after the Ukraine crisis is a piece of living history. So is there a sizable faction in Germany to not only extend the life of these three plants, but to explore nuclear energy as a transition source moving towards renewables sometime in the latter part of the century?
You're getting into an incredibly complex issue here. Building a nuclear power plant is costly. It demands huge environmental issues, political issues, security issues, maintenance issues. These things you don't buy off a shelf. They're very, very difficult. And also how to buy the uranium for this and store it. Storage is a big political controversy here in Germany. This is the first thing. The second thing is that, frankly, France is dependent on nuclear energy and its nuclear energy industry is a disaster. It's pure maintenance. They used to export energy, sell energy to other EU neighbors. They can't do this anymore. They don't have enough. Germany now is trying to sell them some energy. Frankly, the idea of speaking about building new nuclear energy plants can only be addressed if they look at all the mistakes they have done in actually maintaining the current nuclear plant issue.
I'm glad you raised France because I've investigated slightly from the news reporting. And a remarkably large number of the power plants are offline. Why? Because of bad maintenance or delayed maintenance over the years. And in fact, recently, the news was that they've reduced the electricity producing because of the heat wave, the climate that's settled on the plants. It's all a mystery to me. Does Germany buy electricity from France or has that stopped?
There has been agreements to buy electricity, sell electricity. It's been a bilateral arrangement, but it doesn't function anymore because France doesn't have any electricity to sell to Germany. And Germany, frankly, doesn't want to sell electricity to France at the moment. And what we are getting into is the weakness of EU solidarity when it comes to energy. Denmark, for instance, has a surplus of energy, but it's not willing to sell it to Germany. Why? Because despite the EU structure, there aren't the proper grids and there are proper supply routes. And the European Union has spoken for years of having a united grid, north, south, east, west, storage facilities, all sorts of facilities. And Russia's attack on Ukraine has finally showed the weakness of the EU's energy policy in terms of solidarity, in terms of grids, unification of grids, and has also showed the actual urgency of diversifying resources, which they have used lip service for many years. But unfortunately, we have been totally dependent on Russia.
You mentioned coal earlier, and I'm reading about coal. There's a plant in Bexbach, Germany, in the Saarland, that has been shuttered for some years. In fact, I believe the report was they haven't actively used the coal mines for two decades. They're now reopening that plant to produce 100,000 metric tons of coal per month for going forward. Now, coal, we know, is not a close call. This is everything that the environment doesn't need. So the peculiar thing here is reopening coal plants. And I note that that's also happening in France, Italy, Austria, and Netherlands, means that you need to import coal. So is this part of a temporary patch or is Germany reconsidering its whole plan for the future, given that depending upon Russia in future will be a confrontation?
Okay. The coal issue is it's a blip. It won't last. It's plastering over the shortfalls. It's plastering over the lack of strategic planning. It's plastering over the fact that they've been warned so many times of how Russia has used energy as a geopolitical instrument. But the coal element will not last long. This is on the way out. There's no doubt about this. And in the meantime, governments do know, and especially with younger people coming up and the whole focus on climate change, that there will be a big push on renewables. There's no doubt about this. Coal is the ersatz. It's a short-term measure. And were this to last, the European Union, Europe can just, you know, wash its hands in black coal and forget about climate change if it's going to commit itself to coal.
And therefore, what I'm reading about coal now will not be with us a year from now or 2 years from now. Is that the measure?
It's unbelievably difficult to predict, given the war in Ukraine. And I'm not willing to speculate 1 year or 2 years, but certainly I cannot see this lasting more than 2 or 3 years. Because if we talk about 3 years, renewable energy and the push and the political impulse and the economic support will actually give a big push to renewables. There's no doubt about this.
I'm speaking with Judy Dempsey, who is the editor of Strategic Europe, part of the Carnegie Endowment for Peace. She's based in Berlin. We've been speaking specifically of nuclear power and coal power as well during the crisis with Ukraine. And when we come back, I'd like to address the whole issue of looking at the winter for all of Europe. All of Europe is looking to either share or cooperate in the shortfall that we can anticipate. I'm John Batchelor.